This is Matt from Three Count Thursday. We are recording an exclusive interview for our website, threecountthursday.com. Today, we are very grateful to be joined by the one and only Zeta Zhang. How are you today?
Hey, how's it going? I'm doing well. How about yourself?
No complaints. We're very appreciative you could be with us today. So the first thing we always like to ask is just kind of the background info question. So, when did you get interested in wrestling specifically, and were there some wrestlers that you kind of took notice of and were like, hey, I want to be kind of like this person that got you hooked?
Actually, I started watching wrestling when I was four. I had no idea what I was watching at the time. My grandma got me into it, so she took care of me all during my childhood, and she loved watching like WWF, WCW. So she would be watching it, and I would watch it with her. So when I was watching with her, her favorite wrestler was Hulk Hogan. So naturally, that was my favorite wrestler growing up. And because I never, like, knew anything about wrestling, I just know I enjoyed it. I was just so young at the time. And then finally, that was what sparked my interest to do wrestling, amateur wrestling. So I tried to go do it in middle school, but I was actually at a boarding school at the time, and they did not allow me to do wrestling since it was mostly predominantly guys that went to that school, and they told me I wasn't allowed to wrestle because I was a girl. So then later, when I was in high school, I wanted to go and do it, but the problem was trying to get into college, so I didn't have the time. Finally, when I got to college, I moved to this really unsafe city. So, like, where I'm from, it's really safe. But then where I went to college, it was, like, rated number one murder city for a while. So being out there, yeah, I went out there really naive, like, thinking that nothing's ever going to happen to me. And then when there was several incidences where it really scared me and I realized, I need to start protecting myself. So I've always been interested in wrestling and martial arts, so I wanted to do something along those lines. And in college, you can't just jump on the wrestling team. Like, you need to be recruited on there. So I was like, well, what can I do that's related? And so I ended up doing Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu because it was the closest thing to wrestling. So I did that and grappled, and then that's what led me to MMA. And through MMA was how it led me to WWE, which was crazy because, like, kayfabe was not dead for me. Like, I honestly did not know there was any difference at all. So to me, pro wrestling was whatever it was in my mind as a kid, because there was a long gap in between when I stopped watching it. I basically watched it from when I was 4 years old to 12 years old, like, consistently. But then when my grandma started getting sick, she had, like, Alzheimer's and it started getting really bad. I didn't watch it much anymore. So then when she passed away when I was, like, 16, that's when I just completely stopped watching it. And there was that long gap in between. And then when I was doing MMA, like, I was so into that world, I never really knew or, I guess, really paid attention to anything else that was around. So I had one guy that was at my MMA gym that, like, told me, I mean, he said he was signed to WCW back in the 90s for like 1 month. And then he quit. So he told me that it was different than the wrestling we were doing for MMA. But I didn't really know, because it was just one guy telling me, so I didn't really think much of it. And so when I was training for my WWE tryout, I didn't even know there were such things as pro wrestling gyms. Because to me, I thought the only way you could even get into WWE was if you were an Olympic wrestler or if you were at least like a college state championship wrestler. I thought that was the only way. So I had put it out of my mind that it was ever going to be a possibility for me. So when I got offered to go for the trial, I was like, oh my gosh, this is my ticket in to finally do this. So I started training for it, but I was doing amateur wrestling training and basically all my MMA style training. So I was doing amateur wrestling training and I was going to my strength and conditioning gym and my regular gym. And so when I was at my strength and conditioning gym, my coach was like, are you training for a fight? And I was like, not exactly. I have a tryout coming up. He goes, what kind of tryout? I'm like, it's for WWE. He goes, oh, you know there's a gym right down the street that's for pro wrestling, right? I was like, what? There's actually a gym for that? Like, I thought you just had to, like, be able to do amateur wrestling to do this. So then next thing you know, I go to that gym. It's literally walking distance from my strength and conditioning gym. And that gym ended up being Santino Brothers, where Brian Kendrick taught out of. So I was there for about 2 months, and then I went through the tryout and thankfully got through, and that's how I ended up doing pro wrestling.
Now, I always like to ask this because, you know, there are a lot of wrestlers that do have that kind of background with MMA, jiu-jitsu. So for you, like, making that transition to, like, where you're trying to get your opponent to tap, to like where you have to really protect your opponent when you're in the ring with them. How was that for you as a transition? Oh, like, was this tough for your mindset?
that was the hardest thing. That is still the hardest thing, honestly. Like, it's a completely different mindset. I feel like pro wrestling is so mental. I mean, so is fighting, but I feel like you have to think a lot more with pro wrestling. You got to think about so many things, like to the timing, like your opponent and making sure you don't hurt them and all this. And then you got to think about yourself and the positioning. Like, there is so much to think about. And then the storyline and then interacting with the crowd. Like, there is literally like 10 different things you got to think of all at the same time. And man, it is not easy. I honestly, in a way, I feel like MMA is easier because I don't have to worry about anyone but myself. I just got to rely on my training and know what I do best and just stick to that. I don't have to worry about my opponent. I don't have to worry about looking at the camera. I don't have to worry about looking out at the crowd or interacting with anyone. All I am doing is focus on myself, protecting myself, make sure I don't get hit too much, and trying to win. It's, like, very straightforward. So, like, and then there's so many moves in pro wrestling that is very similar to MMA. Like, very similar as far as, you know, some of the throws go, and it's only, like, a little bit different. Like, a little bit different with the angle or the placement of the hand, and after all these years of doing MMA, like, my muscle memory is so used to doing it this way. And then suddenly I have to switch and do it the other way. And my brain is literally telling me, do it this way. But my body is not. Like, my body wants to do what it's been used to, what I've been training for, you know, all these 10 years. And I remember, like, for the headlock takeover, so that move, a very simple move, but, dude, that actually took me a while to get when I started because that move is actually a judo throw. It's exactly the same as a judo throw. The only difference is your hip placement and the way you go down. With judo throws, you do it where you whip your momentum over. And there's a whole body weight on that person's face, on their, like, so it really hurts the opponent, but it's like your goal is to not hurt them. So I felt so bad for my training partner starting out. I just kept smashing her in the face like over and over. And I don't mean to because my body is so used to going down that way. And so to just slowly go down and break it where I don't land on her is very tough to go against my muscle memory. And then, like, just getting up, something as simple as getting up was really tough because I'm right-handed. So my dominant leg that pushes is my right leg. That means it's more natural and faster for me to go cut to the left. But then in wrestling, I have to go along for timing purposes. I have to go the right way. So it's like it was the hardest thing for me to get up the other way. So I'm just like, oh, my gosh, I just keep wanting to get up and go the fast way, but I need to slow it down. So starting, I was just like all over the place. I was way too fast, and they're like, slow down, slow down. And so I like tried to slow down as much possible where I was way too slow. And then I was like, all right, now I'm like trying to find a nice medium like in between. But it's like I felt like I was going so slow before, but I was not. And then after I ended up being too slow. And then same with like just strikes in general, like the whole goal of MMA is to hit the person as hard as you can in the worst areas, like the most painful areas possible. And so like it's literally a matter of degrees, like angles, like just literally a few degree difference that makes all the difference. Like with elbows in Muay Thai, you're supposed to hit them with the actual elbow part, like the bone. But then that would be horrible if you did that in pro wrestling. Everyone would hate me. So I'm like having to turn it over just a few more degrees where it's safe, and then having the, instead of hitting the face, you have to like hit a little bit lower where it's safer. It's just, you know, that type of aiming takes a lot of time since my body is so used to aiming it in a different way. And then before I was going too stiff, and then I really, really lightened up where it was too light and it just looked, it looked horrible. It looked horrible. So now I'm trying to find that in between. Now it's that in between thing where it looks hard, but it's, you know, safe. That's the, that transition is very tough. And, but there's certain, it's weird because even though a lot of things are really tough, there's certain things that come easy just because of the MMA background, because it is similar and some of it is exactly the same actually.
Sure. Absolutely.
And because it's nice to have the background, it's less thinking. So if I go up against someone who is less experienced or someone who, you know, don't really know certain moves, I just rely on my shoot wrestling. Yeah, because they're going to go down regardless. So I don't have to tell them to be in the right place at the right time or to do something for me. I will just control the whole thing for it. So that makes it much easier having that background to get my opponent down.
Definitely, definitely. Now, anyone that kind of follows your posts on social media knows that your Chinese heritage is very important to you. So what are some ways that you try to just incorporate that heritage into your wrestling persona?
Basically, I mean, my attire has some Asian style to it. I kind of stay in the middle. Since I am Chinese American, I embrace both my heritage with the Chinese background and the American background. But then it's like I also do certain things because I like to joke a lot. So I will joke on myself a lot of times and kind of be the stereotypical Asian sometimes, just because honestly, growing up, I was the complete opposite. Growing up, I got bullied a lot, and I was in a town where, you know, I was one of the few Asians. So being Asian was not exactly accepted where I'm from.
Right.
So I did everything I could to not be Asian. I did everything I could to break the stereotype and be the opposite of that. But as I got older, I started learning more about my culture. And I, instead of being ashamed of who I was, I embraced who I was. So now I can joke about being Asian and just like be proud of who I am and just have fun with it. So I'll do like a little peace sign just because it's so typical Asian. But I also do it kind of as a joke. So I kind of do both just to, you know, have it as a joke, but also because it's really Asian. And it's become part of me, actually. Now I actually legit do that all the time in photos. So it's actually
I do see that a lot. I was curious.
Yeah. I see it all the time, so it's like it's actually a part of me now. But I originally when I was in NXT, so I was throwing out this heart. The reason why, so the idea behind that was originally I wanted to throw out a throwing knife. Well, obviously I can't do that. But that's
frowned
actually
upon.
A very traditional Chinese weapon. It's like a little knife, but it has a ribbon tied to the back. That's actually a Chinese weapon to throw the throwing knife. So I wanted that, but I changed it to a heart because it actually has a double meaning. I changed it to a heart because it kind of looks like a throwing knife, but at the same time, it means I'm throwing my heart out on the line. Because the only reason why, like, I am where I am now is honestly because of my heart that got me through it. Because the thing is, I never came from a sports background growing up. I was a shy, quiet, nerdy art girl. So I never did sports. I hated PE. I was trying to skip out on PE. But the thing is, it was one of those things that, I was interested in it. I was interested in wrestling. I was interested in martial arts. But I had a lot of self-doubt, and I just never believed I could do it, so I never truly pursued it ever. It wasn't until, you know, college when I was to the point where I was fearing for my life was what got me to actually do it. But before that, if that hadn't have happened, I would never have done that. And the reason why I got into MMA was because I never planned on competing. I never even planned on doing MMA. Honestly, I hated MMA. I started with jiu-jitsu, and I saw MMA as, like, brute. Because for me, I love jiu-jitsu for the fact that it's an art form. I see martial arts as something where you're supposed to defend yourself, not be here beating people up. Like, that was never my thing. It was more about a peaceful martial arts rather than an abrasive one. So MMA to me was like really, like I felt like the people were really douchey and everyone was just here trying to make an excuse to beat people up because they had like issues themselves or something. But, you know, later I ended up changing that mindset because I realized, even though there are crappy MMA people out there that's just trying to show off, but there are a lot of people who actually came from martial arts background that ended up transitioning to MMA because they enjoyed the competition and having to do all the different style of martial arts and putting it together. That in itself is an art form within itself. So I started doing that, and that is what ended up leading me over to pro wrestling because I am just blanking now because I just went on a full circle. I forgot what I was getting on now. remind me, we were talking about, you asked me what?
Well, we had started with your heritage.
That's right. So, yeah, basically that. So, basically, let me think. Sorry, my heritage. So I did everything I could to go against the norm, but it's what I just never believed that I could do anything. It wasn't until I started doing MMA and got tricked into doing it was when I realized, okay, this is something that I actually want to do. And how did that even tie to my heritage?
We went full circle there.
Yeah, we just went on a full circle. I literally just go on and on about.
Well, I can redirect here because you had kind of mentioned like your shy, nerdy side, and I did want to touch on the fact that you've done some cosplay wrestling, which I'm a huge fan of. So I wanted to know, like, is there any cosplay that you've done that like stands out as like this has been my favorite one, or maybe something that you haven't tried yet that you want to when you do these things?
You know, honestly, I've always enjoyed cosplay only because, like, actually one of my favorite games growing up was Mortal Kombat. So every Halloween I would try and make my own costumes and dress up as one of the characters. So it actually, this whole cosplay wrestling that is around now, it's like awesome because it's so much fun. I get to do the cosplay stuff and also get to wrestle at the same time. And
yeah,
right now I'm consistently Chun-Li for FSCW, which is with like SuperCon and GalaxyCon and all these other cons. But that is, you know, I really enjoy that because I like doing kick stuff, like her movesets and everything else, and I enjoy that character. But, you know, I'm open to other characters. Anything, any type of, I would say I enjoy any type of fighting game characters, either in Tekken or Mortal Kombat or Soul Calibur. Because that's just what I'm into mostly. I never really got big into comic books or anime, actually, which is ironic because that kind of seems to all tie together. But I was more of a gamer nerd, I guess.
Okay.
So I actually literally just did a poll, and I was just like, hey, who wants, like, if you guys have any suggestions for my next cosplay, let me know. So I'm kind of curious to see what everyone has to say.
Is there a front runner at this point?
A lot of people have been saying Psylocke, and I think the reason why is because her outfit looks like my outfit when I was at NXT.
Gotcha. Okay. All right. Now, speaking of your time with NXT, you know, you got to participate in the Mae Young Classic. At this point in your career, like, what did you take away from that you're just kind of using moving forward now, like wrestling in the tournament, being, you know, part of the Mae Young Classic overall? Like, how much did that mean to you, like, as a wrestler, and then what did you take from that experience that you're just moving forward with?
That was actually one of the best experiences that I've had in my life. It's such an honor to be part of history. It's like nothing can ever change that, to be a part of something so big in the women's revolution. Like, it was really nice to be able to represent that and wrestle someone like Shayna in there for my first real, you know, match, really. It was a great experience, even though it was a blur. Like, it was so crazy leading up to it, because literally they just told us, you're going to be in Mae Young Classic. And I was like, okay, but they never said anything. Like, they never gave us any information about it. I was still very new there and still very new to pro wrestling in general. And so I was just like, okay, I don't know really what that is, but that's awesome. So then much later, when it was time to go, it was literally just go, go, go. It was like 4 days nonstop of, you know, going over matches, recording stuff, you know, promos and photos, and constantly like the whole thing to lead up and prepare for it. So literally the day when we're coming out to go over, to do the match, I remember being in the back and the music plays. I'm like, okay, here we go. And I go out there and literally I felt like, I felt like it was only 30 seconds. Like it happened so fast. And then all of a sudden it was over. It was like before I got to really enjoy the moment was over. And then I just enjoyed it after. I just enjoyed it after in my mind. Like I replayed it like, oh, this is what happened. Oh my gosh. But I didn't even get to enjoy the moment while I was in the moment because it just flew by so fast. But looking back, you know, that was such a cool experience. And I'm so glad, like, and thankful that I was able to be a part of that.
Yeah, definitely. Now, since the Mae Young Classic, you've done a lot of traveling. And first of all, I wanted to congratulate you. I saw that you were honored by the Prime Minister of Nepal, so that's awesome. So,
oh, thank you.
Cool moment, I'm
sure.
That
was really cool, too. That was really cool, too. I'm actually staring at this medal right now. It's on my wall.
Yeah, that's awesome just to see it. But, you know, with all the travel, like, you've gotten to wrestle in front of all these different crowds. So how do they compare? Like, for instance, I know down in Mexico, the crowds are just nuts. Out in Japan, because I haven't actually been to Japan for a show, but I know that it's kind of, like, quiet, and they just, like, appreciate the wrestling. So, like, what have you noticed, like, in terms of the crowds at this point? Has that kind of been your experience, too?
So it really varies. I think it varies depending on how well they understand wrestling, maybe. Mm-hmm. Like I went to Singapore, and their crowd is much like the U.S. They know what to chant, when to chant it. Like they know when to boo and when to cheer. They just really understand pro wrestling. So they will get behind you, and they know when to clap and all that. So that's Singapore. But then when I'm in China, it's completely different. It's like they will either be completely quiet or they will cheer regardless. They will cheer everything and everyone.
So
it's like I think they just don't understand enough yet. They'll be here cheering both the heel and the baby face. Because I think culturally it's like a respect thing, like someone's performing in front of you, so you should clap for them because they're performing. So regardless of whether they're supposed to be bad or not, you know, it's seen as rude if you're booing someone, even though they're playing a bad person, you know.
Even though they want that.
So, so, I mean, I think they're starting to get it. I just got back from my second Asia tour, and I'm not really sure if it's because of the area I was in or if it was because they're starting to get it within these several months or what. But when I was in Shanghai at OWE, it was just like either quiet or they would just cheer for everyone and everything. And then when I was in Sanya for my second tour, people seem to understand it a little bit more, maybe, because there's a lot of tourists there. So maybe it's because we're getting people from outside of China who watches pro wrestling, maybe. Or possibly it was because that show was set up a little bit differently. It was set up in a way where there's an announcer that will literally be like, like cheer for this person or this person's bad, and they would say that, you know, kind of like a TV show. So it's a little bit different. It's different out there, and China's still trying to figure it out as far as pro wrestling scene goes. But with Nepal, the fans were great. They kind of reminded me, even though they're their own place, like they kind of, I feel like they might have the influence of India, where they really understand pro wrestling. They have a big fan base out in India. So I feel like they understand it. They'll know when to cheer, and they're really into it.
Gotcha.
So Nepal was great. I was in, where else? Taiwan. Taiwan was really good, too. Taiwan, they're really into pro wrestling, too, because they still have pro wrestling on TV, actually. On their regular channels, they got WWE and they got, like, Japanese wrestling.
Okay.
All the, yeah, they actually have 3 to 4 wrestling channels in Taiwan. So because of that, people actually understand it, you know. So it was a great crowd, too. Where else did I go? I went, Macau. I went to Macau. That was their first show there, and it was a little different also. They didn't so much, I would say it was kind of here and there. Some people would cheer, some people wouldn't. I guess it's kind of like a mixed crowd. So it really varies from place to place. I've wrestled Japanese girls, but I have not gotten a chance to actually wrestle in Japan, though. So I know with Japan, it's like that with all their sports, though. All their sports, they're really quiet because to them, it's to show respect and to pay attention to the people who are performing. So that's why they're quiet and they don't cheer.
Gotcha. Okay. Cool. All right, so I have my rapid-fire question round, and then we'll wrap it up here. But so just first thing comes to your mind, favorite sport to watch?
Sports?
Either or,
I guess,
yeah.
Okay. If you count pro wrestling as sport, then pro wrestling, but if not, then MMA.
Okay. Show you most recently binged on Netflix?
The Punisher.
Okay. Favorite artist to listen to when you work out?
When I work out? When I work out, probably, crap. Does that have to be when I work out? Because I actually don't really listen to music when I work out.
Okay, that's right. Yeah, I do book on tape when I work out.
Let's see. Any type of EDM artist if I do work out with music, but usually I don't work out with music. I just like to be boring and listen to my breath. So
gotcha.
I guess my favorite artist to listen to would probably be Mariah Carey.
All right, perfect. Were you Team Sega Genesis or Team Super Nintendo?
Super Nintendo.
All right, I saw on Facebook you love museums, so your favorite museum you've visited so far?
The Science Museum, the Natural Science Museum in Washington, D.C.
Okay, love it. Time down in Florida, were you Disney World or Universal Studios?
Universal Studios. I actually didn't even go to Disney World when I lived in Florida. I went as a kid, but never while I lived there.
Oh, okay. Do you have a favorite cheat meal?
Burgers.
All right. And last one, country you haven't wrestled in yet that you most want to?
Most want Japan.
Okay. All right, so that's rapid fire round. But before we let you go, you know, just anything that we might have missed, you know, where can our listeners follow you on social media, any upcoming events where they can come meet you, anything like that?
So I'm mostly on Instagram. It's Zeda, Z-E-D-A underscore Zhang, Z-H-A-N-G. But I am also on Twitter, The Zeta Zhang, and my Facebook, that's where I have all my show dates and merchandise. It's facebook.com/TheZetaZhang. It's pretty much all The Zeta Zhang. The issue with Instagram is I couldn't get that name. So, but
gotcha.
Other than that, yeah, that's the only one that's different.
All right. We'll make sure we tag all of those on our website and everything as well. But we really appreciate you taking the time to record with us. We look forward to hopefully getting to see you wrestle live in person here on the East Coast and seeing what's next for Zeta Zhang in the wrestling world.
Thank you. Thanks so much. And thanks for listening to me ramble on and on until I lost what I was getting at.
No, it was great. It was great. Sometimes we have too short of answers, so we'll never complain about a long one.
Nice talking to you.
Yeah, have a good one.